Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're cutting straight to the heart of retirement finance for homeowners. Because if you're a senior homeowner, maybe especially here in New York where costs are high, that house is often your biggest asset.
Absolutely. It's critical.
So our mission today is simple. Give you the fast track to understanding the two main ways you can tap into that home equity later in life, safely, strategically.
Exactly. We're looking at that fundamental choice. On one hand, the reverse mortgage that's accessing equity without monthly principal and interest payments.
Okay.
And on the other, the conventional refinance. You know, replacing your current loan, maybe getting a better rate, maybe pulling cash out, but keeping those monthly payments going.
And look, for seniors in New York, this isn't just theoretical, is it? The context here is pretty urgent.
It really is.
The sources we looked at really emphasize how fixed incomes are getting squeezed. It's not just old mortgage payments.
No, it's the property taxes, the insurance.
Yeah.
Those keep climbing.
Right. And that makes the whole idea of aging in place, staying in your own home financially, really stressful for a lot of people. You need options.
You do. And, well, the good news, if you can call it that, is the market itself kind of supports making a move right now.
How so?
Well, New York home values, they've grown pretty steadily. So there's just more equity available. Whether you're on Long Island, Westchester, in the city, that buildup means potentially better qualification for a refinance or potentially higher payouts from a reverse mortgage.
Got it. Okay, let's unpack the one that maybe feels the most, I don't know, unusual, the reverse mortgage. People hear the name.
But they don't always grasp how it works, yeah.
So what is the core mechanism?
Fundamentally, it's for homeowners age 62 and older. What? Unless you turn some of your home equity into cash or like a line of credit you can use.
Okay.
The key mechanic is it's reversed. The lender pays you. You still own the home.
But no monthly mortgage payments, principal and interest anyway.
Exactly. Zero required P&I payments.
So, okay, if I'm not paying anything month to month, when does the bank get its money back? That's the big question, isn't it?
It is. Repayment only happens when a specific event occurs. Usually that's selling the home, moving out permanently, meaning for more than 12 months straight.
Or when the homeowner passes away?
Correct. It's essentially a loan you pay back later. But, and this is crucial, there's a protective step you must take first.
Which is?
You absolutely have to complete HUD-approved reverse mortgage counseling before you can even apply. It's mandatory.
Okay, mandatory counseling. Makes sense. So the big appeal, the headline, it's the improved cash flow, right? You kill off potentially your largest monthly bill.
That's definitely the main draw. Huge relief for someone on a fixed income.
Sounds amazing.
And the sources also highlight the flexibility. You don't just get one big check, necessarily. It could be a lump sum, yes. But also monthly payments coming to you or a line of credit you can tap as needed. That line of credit option can even grow over time.
A growing line of credit. Interesting.
Yeah. But maybe the most important protection, especially for your family down the line, is that it's a non-recourse loan.
Non-recourse. Okay. Translate that for us. What does that mean in like a real world scenario?
It means you or your heirs will never owe more than the home's fair market value when the loan is repaid.
Never more than the house is worth.
Correct. So imagine you took out the reverse mortgage when the market was high. Then, uh-oh, the market tanks.
Yeah.
Your loan balance might actually be higher than what the house could sell for.
Okay, yeah. Nightmare scenario.
With non-recourse, your family isn't on the hook for the difference. They sell the home, the proceeds pay off the loan up to that sale price, and any remaining loan balance is just gone. Forgiven by the lender or insurer.
Wow. Okay, that is a massive protection. Different from other kinds of debt.
Very different.
But there's always a but, right? If it's so great, why wouldn't everyone just do this? What are the trade-offs? The cons?
Well, you're essentially trading future wealth for cash flow today. That's the core trade-off. Meaning your home equity goes down over time. The interest keeps adding up. The loan balance grows, sometimes quite quickly.
So you're using up the value of the house.
Exactly. You're using up your estate bit by bit. And another point, these loans typically have higher upfront fees and closing costs compared to a regular mortgage or refinance.
Higher costs. Okay.
So if your main goal is leaving the home or its full value to your kids or other dependents, this has a significant impact. It reduces what they inherit.
Right. Okay. So the reverse mortgage helps cash flow now, but eats into the inheritance later. Let's flip that coin then. How does the conventional refinance fit in? It seems more familiar, but maybe seniors use it differently.
It is more familiar. It's simply replacing your existing mortgage with a new one. Often the goal is straightforward. Get a lower interest rate, lower your monthly payment.
Standard refinance goal.
Right. But for seniors, the cash-out refinance option is also really common. You refinance for more than you owe and take the difference in cash.
Ah, okay. Tapping equity that way.
Exactly. Maybe for big medical bills or home modifications so they can age in place safely, things like that. But you still have a loan that needs paying down each month.
Okay, so let's talk pros for seniors doing a refi. The big one seems to be you keep the asset intact, right? Long-term stability.
Absolutely. Yep. That's the main attraction for many.
You might lower your payments, sure, but you're preserving the equity. You're keeping the heir's potential inheritance whole.
And you're actually building equity, technically, with each payment.
Correct. Every payment reduces the principal, increasing your ownership stake. Plus, it can be a smart way to manage debt, if you have high-interest credit cards, for example.
You can roll that debt into the mortgage at a potentially much lower rate.
Precisely. Consolidate it into one, hopefully lower, monthly payment.
And here's the other side again. Mm-hmm. Refinancing means you still have those monthly payments, which is the exact thing the reverse mortgage gets rid of.
That's the fundamental difference, yes.
So what are the hurdles? Age isn't the main factor here, you said. What is? Financial stability is. Plain and simple. You have to demonstrate you can actually make those ongoing monthly payments. That could be tough on a fixed income.
So lenders are looking closely at income and credit.
Very closely. Need solid credit, typically a score of 620 or higher, the sources suggest. And you need proof of stable income, pension, Social Security, retirement account distributions, whatever it is.
Okay. And you mentioned needing sufficient equity, too, often 20% to avoid something. PMI, what's that about?
Right. PMI stands for private mortgage insurance.
Insurance.
Sounds good.
Well, it's insurance that protects the lender, not you. If you refinance and have less than 20% equity, maybe, because you did a large cash out, the lender will likely require you to pay this extra PMI premium each month on top of your principal, interest, taxes, and regular insurance.
An extra cost. Just what someone on a fixed income needs.
Exactly. It's just an added expense. So if you're doing a cash out refi, you have to be careful not to borrow so much that your equity drops below that 20% threshold and triggers PMI. Got it. Okay, so let's try and bring this together for someone listening, trying to figure out their path. When we boil it all down, it really seems like the decision hinges on one big thing. Do you need immediate cash flow freedom more, or do you need to preserve that long-term home value more?
That really is the core conflict, isn't it? Cash flow versus equity.
Yeah.
Let's just quickly summarize the key differences head-to-head.
Good idea.
Monthly payments. Reverse mortgage. Zero P&I. Refinance. Yes, required.
Clear enough.
Eligibility. Reverse mortgage is primarily about age 62 plus. Refinance is about financial strength, your income, your credit score.
Okay.
Equity impact. This is the big divergence. Reverse mortgage reduces equity over time. Refinance preserves it, even increases it with payments.
Polar opposites there.
And finally, heirs' inheritance. Reverse mortgage likely reduces what's left. Refinance. The home value generally remains part of the estate.
Okay. So based on the sources, let's try a quick checklist. When does each make more sense? Reverse mortgage.
Better. If your top priority is boosting monthly income, you plan to stay put long term, and maybe critically, leaving the full home value isn't the absolute main goal.
And the refinance.
Better if you can comfortably handle payments. You mainly want to lower your rate or current payment. You have decent income and credit. And preserving that equity for family is really important to you.
Okay, that helps clarify. But hang on, I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier because it feels like a potential trap people might miss.
Mm-hmm.
You said even with a reverse mortgage where there are no monthly P&I payments, you could still lose your home. There's some shared responsibility.
Yes. This is incredibly important. The absolute critical fine print.
What is it?
No matter which loan you choose, reverse or conventional refinance you, the homeowner must continue to pay property taxes and homeowners insurance. You also have to maintain the home to reasonable standards.
Mortgage payment might go away with a reverse.
But the tax bill and the insurance bill do not. And failing to pay those is a leading cause of default for both loan types.
Meaning foreclosure is still a risk, even with a reverse mortgage, if you can't cover taxes and insurance.
Absolutely. That risk never disappears completely. You have to budget for those ongoing costs.
Crucial point. Okay, let's shift to applying this specifically here in New York, practical steps. If someone's leaning towards a reverse mortgage, step one is that counseling you mentioned.
Correct. Mandatory HUD counseling is always the first official step for a reverse mortgage.
But then, thinking about NY, especially the city, property types matter, right? Co-ops and condos.
Hugely important distinction here. Conventional refinancing. Usually doable for both condos and co-ops, though co-op boards might need to approve it.
Okay.
But reverse mortgages. The standard federally insured kind, the HECM, is generally not available for co-ops.
Wait, really? Not available for co-ops? That's huge, given how many people live in co-ops in NYC.
It is a major restriction. It essentially takes the most common, most protected reverse mortgage product off the table for a very large group of senior homeowners here.
So what are their options then?
It often pushes them towards what are called proprietary reverse mortgages. Those aren't federally insured, might have different terms, maybe higher costs or different features. Or it simply makes conventional refinancing their only real route if they need to tap equity.
Wow. And what about the high property values here? Does that complicate things?
It can. High values mean potentially large loan amounts needed, whether for a refi or a reverse. This might push borrowers into jumbo loan territory for refinancing, or again, towards proprietary reverse mortgages, which sometimes accommodate higher home values than the standard HECM limits.
Okay. But on the positive side, New York State does have some consumer protections built in, right? Especially for reverse mortgages.
Yes, thankfully. New York mandates specific counseling standards and disclosures designed to help seniors really understand what they're getting into, the long-term implications. That state-level oversight is vital.
Good to know. Okay, that brings us towards wrapping up. If we had to distill everything down to one core takeaway, the decision framework really seems to rest on what you prioritize more. Is it the income flexibility right now that a reverse mortgage offers?
Or is it the equity preservation for the future that a conventional refinance provides?
That seems to be the fundamental choice.
It generally is. But let me leave you with one final thought. Sort of a what-if scenario to consider.
Okay.
Let's say you choose the conventional refinance today. Your goal is preserving equity for your heirs. You can handle the payments now.
Makes sense.
But maybe 5-10 years down the road, things change. Property taxes keep rising, insurance costs go up again, maybe unexpected health costs appear, and suddenly those monthly mortgage payments are becoming unsustainable. They're draining your savings faster than you expected.
Right, a very possible scenario.
Can you change course? You chose the refi for equity, but now you desperately need the cash flow a reverse mortgage offers. Can you switch?
Can you refinance out of the conventional loan and into a reverse mortgage later?
Well, according to the sources and general rules, yes, typically you can, provided you still meet the qualifications, age 62 plus, sufficient remaining equity in the home. You could potentially take out a reverse mortgage to pay off the existing conventional mortgage.
Interesting.
The implication there is about long-term planning. Your initial choice needs to consider not just today's situation, but also the possibility of future financial strain. And knowing that the reverse mortgage might still be an option later, well, it can act as a kind of financial safety net down the road, even if you don't choose it today.
That's a really brilliant point. Financial planning isn't static, is it? Needs ongoing thought.
Well, thank you for sharing all these insights from the sources and helping us really dive deep into these complex options.
My pleasure.
We genuinely hope this conversation gives you, our listener, some valuable knowledge to use in your own decision-making process.